Who do you want to talk about first?
Mick Sherman. The Athletic.
He can play. And we need people that can play. And we'll never be royal. Let me live that
fantasy.
Mick Sherman. The Athletic. On the Connor Happer Show. On 1620, The Zone.
He can play.
Connor Happer Show on 1620, The Zone. Connor's on his way to Pittsburgh to cover the Creighton Blue Jays. Producer Josh in for him. And just during the commercial, I glance up at the TV behind me, which is on the Pat McAfee Show. He's got Reese Davis on. And what are the two of those football fanatics talking about? That's right, Keisei Tominaga, who is, he's poised to become a massive star if Nebraska can get the win on Friday. Mitch Sherman joins us. He's from The Athletic. He is in Lincoln at Nebraska's Pro Day. Mitch, what's going on around you today? I guess let's start there.
It's been a busy day, and we're not even talking about Keisei Tominaga here. I'd forgotten all about Keisei Tominaga, but he comes roaring back to the forefront here. In about 48 hours. I'm glad to see that Keisei is getting the national love that he deserves. You know, internationally, he's beloved. Of course, the Japanese media and the Japanese fans follow him all over wherever he goes. But now we have people here in the United States who are paying attention to Keisei as he comes toward the end of his career. Here at Nebraska Pro Day, it's been rather eventful on the journey to Lincoln. For me, I learned that Nebraska has hired an athletic director. At that point, it was reportedly having hired an athletic director, and now it's official that Troy Dannon from Washington is the new AD at Nebraska. And we also found out, just as a side note, that the University of Nebraska has a new priority candidate or new system president, a priority candidate to become the system president, who is, of course, Jeffrey Gold, the UNMC chancellor. So on top of all that, I'm watching Dylan Raiola and Daniel Kalen throw darts at Nebraska's pro day. No, they are not auditioning for the NFL. They're helping the receivers get ready for the draft. So,
it's a receiver showcase.
It is.
Someone has to throw them the ball.
It is, and I will tell you that all of the TV cameras and still cameras and media eyes are on the quarterbacks, not so much on Anthony Grant and Josh Fleeks and the others. But, you know, they're getting their day in front of the NFL scouts, the receivers are, and it just so happens that they needed some people to throw to them.
Well, very convenient. How's he look, by the way? How's he look?
Got just a smooth release, you know, all of the things that we knew about Dylan Raiola. But it's fun to watch him in person. It's fun to watch him in Nebraska gear inside the Hawks Championship Center. He looks good. He's in good shape. I think he's reshaped some things, redefined his physique a bit through the winter conditioning period, I will say. That'll probably be a major topic when people get to see him up close this spring. But it looks to me like Dylan and Daniel Kalen too are in very good shape as Nebraska gets ready to start spring practice early next week. And he throws a great ball. They both do, you know, but Dylan is so effortless in the way that he throws. The ball jumps out of his hands. He can throw it 45, 50 yards in the air. And it looks like, you know, just a little touch pass.
Oh, we are so back, Mitch. Troy Dannon, let's start there, from Washington. I have in my notes expected to be named because that's when I typed them out. But he is Nebraska's new athletic director. What do we know about him and how this deal came to be?
Well, Troy Dannon is the athletic director, was the athletic director until about 2 hours ago at the University of Washington. Had been on that job for all of about 6 months. Prior to that, he was the AD at Tulane. Prior to that, he was the AD at Northern Iowa for an extended period of time, and his roots are in the state of Iowa. He has a relationship with Matt Rhule from their time together in the AAC. Well, Rule was at Temple, and Dannon was at Tulane. He hired Willie Fritz at Tulane. According to Matt Rule, he wanted to get back to this part of the country. He understands what kind of a place Nebraska is and wants to be a part of it. He is in his mid to late 50s, and this was a very fast search. Credit to Chris Kaborik, the interim university system president, who ironically is on his way out, presume as long as things work in this window for Jeffrey Gold. Kaborik can go back to his role as CFO, but he got this done. The interim president was able to not only identify and hire an athletic director in Troy Dannon, but he also this week re-signed Fred Hoiberg. So Hoiberg has a two-year extension and a significant raise on top of the $3-plus million that he was already earning.
I'm kind of amazed that an interim would, quite frankly, work that hard. Like, I know he had still had a position in the Nebraska system, but he did a lot in 7 days.
Well, you know, right, in the 7 days since Trev Alberts has left, Chris Kaborik has done a lot. I think you can say that he, along with Alberts, were already working on the Hoiberg extension before last Wednesday. That was
That
was in the works. I don't believe that contract was entirely concocted here since Alberts left to go to Texas A&M just 1 week ago right now. But yeah, it's been a busy stretch for Chris Kaborik and his run as system president here in the early portion of 2024 will be remembered. We'll see. History will tell us if it'll be remembered for good or for bad. But right now, it looks good because Nebraska again has an athletic director and it has a basketball coach who is locked down for a while.
Let me just be the proxy for the audience here, Mitch. How do you find an AD in 7 days but take 9 months to find a president? I don't know if you know the answer to that, but I got to ask the question.
You know, when you're hiring, I don't. When you're hiring a president, in the world of academia, things tend to drag on and go slowly. And we've seen in many instances in the past where whether it's a chancellor or assistant president being hired, that they are extended searches. When Nebraska brought Ted Carter to the state of Nebraska, when the University of Nebraska brought Ted Carter to the state of Nebraska, it was an extended search. So athletic directors are generally hired in a much smaller window, in part because there is that urgency, there is that need, there are decisions to be made as we see contract extensions to be offered. It's not that the university system president doesn't have important decisions to be made that are urgent, but there's even more of a more levels of bureaucracy that exist below a system president. So there are people in place who can help make those decisions. And even with the hiring process, Dannon today is hired. He's the AD right now. No word on what his official first day is at Nebraska, but you can expect a press conference with him at Memorial Stadium or around Memorial Stadium. They may do this one at the Hawks Championship Center like we saw with Matt Rule a year and a half ago. That'll be early next week with the system president. He's got this 30-day window. That's how they did it with the chancellor last year. I assume that it's the same with the system president before he's actually installed into that position. So things just take longer with presidents than with ADs.
Matt Rule spoke about Trev's departure earlier this week. He spoke about Dannon's hire today. What were your takeaways from both of those times with Matt?
Well, absolutely. Early this week when Matt Rule spoke, you know, you heard the urgency in his voice. You could tell that everything he said was well thought out, that he spent a lot of time thinking about the message that he wanted to deliver. I think he was speaking for a lot of people for the athletic department in that moment. And then today it was kind of back to football coach mode for Matt Rule. They have an AD now, and Rule talked about his role in whatever, however small that was in helping sell Nebraska to Troy Dannon. It didn't sound like Troy Dannon needed to be sold a lot on Nebraska, but he does have a relationship with Matt Rhule. They did talk, and you know, Rhule, I would think, based off the comments that he made today, he let Troy Dannon know where things are at. I'm sure he gave him a his realistic view of the job that he's going to have to step into. And in some way, that played a role. We'll hear from Dannon soon, but that played a role in convincing Troy Dannon to leave Washington after his short stint in Seattle.
I mean, it could have been coach speak, Mitch, but he on when was that? Monday?
Monday.
He really didn't sound like a guy that was thinking about, okay, how do I get out of here with all this dysfunction? He sounded committed.
Yeah, it's not what Matt Rhule wants to be here.
Yeah.
It's genuine that he wants to be here. Now, things changed. Trev Alberts wanted to be at Nebraska. I genuinely believe that he did just a few months ago. And something in his world and his view of the situation that he was directing changed. And so it can happen to anybody. But right now, we're in a spot where Matt Rhule wants to be here. You know, you heard all the reasons, both personal and professional, that he's committed to this place. And you know, I think that was reinforced a bit more today by the addition of an athletic director who he's going to immediately feel comfortable sitting down and working with.
Switching to basketball here, you wrote about Nebraska's lack of tournament success this week. What were some of the interesting nuggets from that story?
Yeah, you know, as Nebraska worked towards securing this position in the big dance here this week, in talking to colleagues, others nationally in the media, you know, I heard, and it's been 10 years since the Huskers played in the tournament, so you don't get to have these conversations real often. But in the last time Nebraska played in the tournament, it was not the only team among Power Conference schools that had didn't have a tournament win. Northwestern got over that hurdle in 2017. So this will be Nebraska's first appearance in the tournament where it's the only one out there that's still seeking to make history at its school among major conference teams. And you know, I heard a lot of conversation that through this winter about how did that happen? How did Nebraska become the school that would be last to get to cross that line, to achieve that distinction? And so I went back in this story that published today, and you know, I looked at the Huskers tournament history, and you know, revisited the Danny Nee years, and I talked with Eric Strickland and Andy Markowski, and I talked to Jake Muehlheisen, who played for Barry Collier in the early 2000s and didn't get an opportunity to play in the tournament. And Jake has lived and breathed Nebraska basketball for the last few years on the radio with Kent Pavelka, so he's front and center in watching this team, and you know, all of the Nebraska basketball alumni base is hoping that this is the group that can do what none of them were able to do in the past. And you know, it made for some interesting storytelling, and you know, it was fun to revisit, fun for me to look at it, maybe not fun for the players who participated in it or the fans who lived through it to experience again those seven losses. But it's there, and there's an opportunity on Friday for Nebraska to reverse that.
Mitch Sherman of The Athletic joins us. One more for you, Mitch, and then we'll let you get back into the pro day. You wrote on The Athletic website, they found the best beer from every tournament site, and you named Omaha's best beer. What kind of grueling research did you have to do for this?
I will tell you, I did not choose the beer.
Oh, okay.
I did choose the brewery. And it was a proximity thing. It was there was some personal preference there for me in going to Cross Strain, from knowing the people there, from having been in their establishments and tasted their brews in the past. I did have say in the brewery that we were going to, as is the case for all of our writers who covered an individual city. We picked a beer from every one of the NCAA tournament sites on the men's side this week, but I let the the management at Cross Strain select the Fairy Nectar IPA.
Okay.
So, I've had it. It is good. I would recommend for visitors and for locals alike to go check out the check out Cross Strain and all of the establishments downtown around the CHI Health Center if they're in town and partaking in the NCAA tournament action in Omaha this week.
Absolutely. Mitch, we'll let you get back into Pro Day. Great stuff on Twitter today from Pro Day, and the columns are great. Keep them coming. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic, thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, there he is. Man, Dylan, did you hear him? Dylan's slinging it. He's slinging it. Oh, man, we're so back, baby. We got an AD. We got a president. Can't hold Nebraska down for long. Surely this is the turning point. Now everything is in lock place administratively. You got the coach. You got the AD. You got the president. You got the quarterback. Now is the time. Our long-suffering fan base can finally exhale. Surely nothing bad will ever happen to us ever again. God, I hope so. I just can't take any more pain. Appreciate Mitch Sherman stopping by nice enough to excuse himself from the pro day for a few minutes to talk to us. We will, just because Connor's not here, doesn't mean we won't do the odd news. We're still soliciting your tweets for the tweet bag. We'll open that up at around noon. You tweet in your nonsensical questions. Who would win in a fight, an alligator or a bear? Ask us about movies, food, sports, beers. Anything goes in the tweet bag. We'll do that at noon. But up first, it is the odd news. We'll do that next here on 1620 The Zone.